Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined not by Lugo and DAD, your Jam That Champion, but the last Jam That Champion, my former boss, but now I'm back as his boss. It's Chopper Pete Quinnell. Happy birthday.
That's definitely not my birthday. It is my dad's birthday today, though. So, you know, it's my DAD's birthday today. Yeah, which is cool because I'm getting to see him later today. So that's nice. Though his birthday present still hasn't arrived yet. I ordered it like 2 days ago on Amazon because I was like, oh God, I forgot about his birthday present. And I got it on Prime. So I'm like, it should be here today, but I'm on the clock because they're picking me up this evening. So we'll see how that goes.
That is the problem with Prime. It's too convenient. Well, you get lax.
100%.
Etsy. Where my sister's birthday present, my sister's Christmas present was coming from. I ordered that on the 29th of November. Mm. I had all my Christmas shopping arrived here in the first week of December. I was on it this year because I, you know, supply chain issues. I thought, let's get ahead. And me and my lady partner were wrapping up the Christmas presents last night. And she looks at me and goes, didn't you have another present for your sister? I was like, yeah, what was it? And I completely forgot what it was, hunted through the emails, found it. It was never dispatched.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
So, you know, you've got a female relative. What are you going to do? You go into Lush. Lush is sold out of bath bombs.
Well,
what?
Yeah, I can imagine that.
There's not a single bath bomb gift set on Lush.
Could you not get any other kind of bath bomb?
Well, that's actually what I ended up doing.
Yeah, makes sense.
Some not as good a name brand. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of them, but they are in the shape of a pineapple, a watermelon slice, and what was the other one? It all seemed a bit summery, which I think is why they were in stock.
It makes sense. It's a perfect Christmas present. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
What did you get your dad for his birthday Christmas? Do you have to get him two presents?
Yeah, it's only fair that way. You know, everyone gets a birthday present and a Christmas present. Just because his birthday happens to be 2 days before Christmas doesn't mean he only gets one, which a lot of people do end up doing. But I'm like, no, that's not fair. So I got him a proper present. I think I spent the most money on my dad's Christmas present. So I figured I can get him a joke one for the birthday. That one's fine. So the running joke is that my dad is very old because he does lawn bowls, and that's a very old person thing to do.
It's an old person or a French thing. I'm surprised Terry hasn't like rocked up early in the car park with a little lawn bowls set.
Exactly.
What do they call
it?
Patan or something?
I have no idea.
You keep talking and I'll get to the bottom of that.
I mentioned this on the NXT podcast yesterday, but the joke is that he's old, and also he is kind of old now, because today he is 66, so he's old, you know, he's older than Sting. That's crazy.
Wow.
So yeah, I know. And he's not doing half the stuff that Sting does. It's mental. I got him a thing that you can put your walking stick into that kind of increases the surface area. So when you're on your lawn doing your lawn bowls, it doesn't leave any like indents on the thing. But he doesn't have a walking stick. That's the joke. Because he's old, you see.
Is that the Christmas present? The walking
stick?
That's the
birthday present. And then the Christmas present is actually one of those like bottle opener things, like freestanding bottle openers with like a catch thing at the bottom. Yeah. I got one of those because it would fit quite well. They've got like a little outside bit in their garden where they sit outside in the summer and drink and stuff because they've got nothing else to do. They're both retired. So they just sit around drinking most of the time.
It's Petanque, if anyone was still thinking.
Petanque, is that how it's pronounced in French as well?
I don't know. Petanque. Want to go on the petanque. So your dad doesn't mind being called old all the time?
I mean, he probably really gets to him. But, you know, he takes it in stride. It's fine. It's like, I get called bald all the time. That's fine. Whatever. Doesn't bother me at all.
It's like one of those things that you're like, okay, I'm just going to have to lean into. Maybe I'll get a chance to make the joke about myself first before anyone else does.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been saying he's been old for a bit because generally speaking, you know, he was relatively old for, you know, especially in those days when he started having kids. And then I was way after all my brothers. So he was very old when I was born. So I've always been calling him old anyway, because he's been an old man for basically my whole life. But also, like, you know, when it was like, oh, you're 50 now, you know, half a century. Oh, you get 65, need your bus pass, all that stuff. And then, you know, starting to get gray hairs and like the size thing now. And I'm he's aging incredibly well, which is why I think we can get away with the jokes, is that he doesn't look very, like old.
I've had grey hair since I was 16.
I think you're just stressed out, mate. I think that's what it is.
You reckon? Yeah. Well, I tell you what it is, and I think I've made this joke before. It probably was the battle with Magneto that I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2000. Yeah.
It checks out. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, he's got some. It's still mostly like black, but he's still got streaks going on. I think if he grew his beard out, it would probably be full grey at this point. But he doesn't. He's always just got stubble the whole time.
Wait. So he's got a full head of jet black hair?
No. He has the bald on top and like the stuff around the side. You know, the proper old man haircut. Yeah. He's had that forever.
Who's the crazy Trevor, isn't it? From Grand Theft Auto 5 or something?
Yes. That one. That Where's sort the best? Of haircut. Yeah, he doesn't wear a vest, though.
When he's playing lawn bowls, effing and blinding, cooking meth. It's Pete's
dad. Yeah, exactly. He did used to have, though, shoulder-length, thick, curly, black hair. And then he started to lose his hair when he was 21, and he was like, balls. So then he just had to shave it all off.
Balls?
Sucks. Balls.
Balls. That's where it came from.
Balls. Yeah. That's where his love of lawn bowls came from.
Sounds like Brian May before that happened.
Yeah,
long,
pretty much.
Flowing curly black locks.
Genuinely quite similar in terms of that hairstyle. I've seen pictures of it. I'm like, that's not you.
Have you asked for anything like specific for you from Father Christmas this year?
No, I generally don't. Because really what I want is money.
What to get you?
Generally, it's money. Oh, that's fine.
Hey, no, that's depressing.
But that's what I need and want is money. I like to buy my own stuff.
You want money to buy the things. So why didn't you get the things?
I mean, I want money to buy the very specific things that I know I need. Because, you know, if I said to someone, can you get me a D&D book? Can't do that. That's way too vague. There's so many D&D books, they'll probably get me the wrong one or one I've already got. Or if it's like, can you get me some D&D dice? It's like, I need some that look a certain way, or I need to like find a specific thing. So I can like maybe send them a link of a very specific thing. But then that kind of defeats the point because I know what's coming. If I'm going to get a present, it needs to be a surprise for me. And it defeats the point in a present.
Really?
Personally. Yeah. Yeah. I'd much rather someone gave me the money so then I could buy it if I knew what I was going to get, rather than, or like a voucher to say you can spend it on this site to buy the thing you want. I would much rather buy that myself, and I'd rather someone just get me something that they think I might like as a surprise.
But you get to open the thing on the day.
And yeah,
you go, and I'd... Yay, I've got the thing. Thanks, Father Christmas. You did nothing, Mum and Dad, but thanks, Father Christmas.
Sure. I don't know. I always find the inherent joy of gift-giving is the look of like, oh, it's this thing. I didn't know this was coming. Wow, what a great surprise, you know, for the actual gifts.
They don't, to be surprises.
I feel like they do. That's just, I don't know. That's just ingrained in me.
We'll unpack more of your, well, both okay. of our Christmas habits after the main show, because we better get into it.
We should.
Here's AW Dynamite. AEW era confirmed, apart from Roderick Strong. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. No Luke, of course. He's done for the year. And this is my last podcast of the year too, so send me loads of money at wrestletalk.com/support. It'll go on my New Year's Eve party in my flat alone, where I'm not going out. I'm Molly Day. No, I've done the intros.
You've done
this
the intros.
This is the AW Dynamite review, the holiday bash edition of Dynamite. And the biggest news, apart from the main event being ridiculously fun, was the debut of Kyle O'Reilly about 10 days after he finished up in NXT. He showed up here at the end of the Adam Cole match to help Adam Cole win and stood alongside Bobby Fish and Cole. It's an Undisputed Era reunion.
I loved all of this. I know you had your gripes with it in the editor review, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but I wanted to say firstly that I think that the minor gripe that I have with it, which could be conceived as a major gripe, I guess, is that if they didn't tease the debut last week, if Adam Cole didn't promise, like, oh, I've got this cool surprise for next week, if they hadn't have done that, I think this angle would have worked so much better, because now it quite doesn't make sense. But I think if Kyle O'Reilly did what he did here and just came out of nowhere, helped Cole win, and then Cole was kind of standing off with him, because Cole looked a little bit aggressive to him at one point to be like, the hell are you doing, man? What you doing here? Obviously a nod to them, actually. The last thing they did together in NXT was have a feud, so that makes sense. And then the Young Bucks came out and like, Cole, what you doing, buddy? And he's like, I don't know. I like Undisputed Era, but I also like the Super Click. I don't know what to do. And I was like, I love that element of the storytelling.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, of Cole being torn between his two groups. He's like, I just want everyone to be friends. Oh no, what have I done? That I think was really good, and like Red Dragon being back together, hitting them, see like the total elimination, hitting that. I was like, oh, I love Adam Scoop here so much. Like that got my heartstrings going. I love seeing Kyle O'Reilly here. This was awesome. It's just if they didn't tease it last week, this would have been way more effective, I think. But I still loved it. I loved it with all my soul, and I love that they're gonna have so much more of this intricate who's on whose side storytelling, because that to me is really interesting.
You ever look at AEW and you think, storytelling's too good. All these stories are too long. The character development is too real and psychologically complex. Can't I just have some sports entertainment in my wrestling shows?
No,
things
I never
make
think
too
that.
Much sense, Pete. There's something about me doing shows with you, honestly, where I want to annoy you. I don't know what it is. like as I'm saying this out loud now, when we were doing the live reactions earlier in the year, and I was just like, just take it out. No. It doesn't have to make sense. As soon as I stopped doing it, as soon as the next show where we weren't doing it just me and you, I was getting annoyed about stuff again. It's like having you here pushes me too much the other way. Anyway, just to recap what happened, Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy started this episode. They had, for my money, like a pay-per-view caliber match. I thought this was extraordinary. And both guys, I know there's been criticisms of Cole's first real feud in AEW is Orange Cassidy. people who don't like AEW have used this as an example to say why AEW's booking is no good. You know, like, oh, what? And because if you look at it, what he did in NXT was of a higher prominence, I guess. This could be dismissed, if you weren't into it, as a comedy nothing feud. I happen to like it. I think it does mean something. And I think this match here showed actually Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole have kind of this perfect duality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think they are the good and evil versions of each other.
Yeah.
It's literally because they both have the comedy goofness, but on two different ends of the spectrum. It's like the fun babyface comedy goof, and Adam Cole is a really good goofy comedy heel at the same time. But also, they're both really good technical wrestlers at the same time. And I think they told that kind of story throughout this match really, really well. And even like them kicking out of each other's signatures, and like Cole going for the cocky pin, like mocking the hands in the pockets and stuff like that, was really, really good stuff. I just thought the match just picked up to such a fun degree by the end of it, that when you got to the climax, you already had the Bucks and the Best Friends come out earlier and brawl to the back. So they weren't in the equation anymore. Then Bobby Fish came out. Then you had Kyle O'Reilly. All of it just built into this really interesting and really, what's the word I'm looking for? Definitive climax of the Kyle O'Reilly debut. And you're like, oh, yes, this huge thing is happening. I think that the match built to it perfectly. It was great.
Yeah, I think there's something about Cassidy that uniquely gets under Cole's skin. Like, it just annoys Cole so much, and I love that dynamic. But you're totally right. Kyle O'Reilly appears. Bobby Fish distracts the referee after the Young Bucks have already properly failed to, you know, help Adam win. And then we get the moment afterwards where Cole and O'Reilly square off at one another. All positive. You know, this is really nitpicking my criticisms of it. I love that Kyle O'Reilly is in the promotion. I love that Undisputed Era are there and they've got a thing with the Bucks immediately. I don't expect that to implode right away. I think we're probably going to get some 10-man tags against the Best Friends and assorted others. Hopefully Sue finally gets in that team. And then we can make her in-ring debut. Send Sue. Yeah? Where my Sue's at? My sewers. Step aside.
Sewers?
I don't know.
Sewers?
Is there a better name for that? Sue fan?
The Sue
Studios.
I don't know.
Super click. The super friends. Where's my super friends at? There we go. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. But just I think it's two things that just sort of, you know, because it's a debut. It's the Undisputed Era debut in AEW. That's something that's been fantasy booked forever, and it will only happen once. And this was the way they did it. And I don't think it was the best way of doing it. It was fine. It was good. But, you know, that thing is now passed. So that has left me a little bit cold, unfortunately. But I am excited for the future. I think it's two things. It's the placement of the match on the show. I think this would have been a far better angle if it was the main event. I know AEW kind of have a main event as the opener sometimes, but I'm a traditionalist, I guess. For my taste, I'll put it at the end. And the other thing is, it just was a bit... You can have people be uncertain and vague. I think that's what they were trying to get across. Where do Cole's allegiances lie? Is it to his Undisputed Era former buddies who are back, or the Bucks? And Fish and O'Reilly never turned round to look at the Bucks. It was Cole. So it was a very good piece of staging. But just the way it played out in the ring, that initial stare off with Kyle, there was no proper, like, respect, fist bump, too sweet thing. I just found it a bit, not confusing, but off.
I totally get that. And when Tempest and I were talking about this, when Kyle O'Reilly left NXT, we were talking about it on the NXT podcast, to be like, how do you introduce Kyle into the story? Because the thing with AEW is that they reference everyone's continuity. Like, everything that a wrestler has done in the past is canon in AEW lore. So everything that everyone's done in NXT is legit. So the last thing that Cole and O'Reilly have done is feud. So you can't just bring in Kyle to be like, hey, we're best mates, because that's not canon. That's not what's happened. So I like the fact that they're referencing their feud in NXT, but it feels awkward because of the tease from last week. I think if it was more uncertain, if you didn't have maybe the full Undisputed Era debut, you had Kyle come in here and help Cole win, but then Cole is like, wait, what are you doing? And Kyle just like leaves or something like that. I feel like that might have been a more intriguing angle to take. So it's not a proper Undisputed Era debut to kick this episode.
He walks off with Bobby Fish. And then you're like, sure, yeah. Oh, it's a Red Dragon reunion, mm-hmm. not an Undisputed Era reunion. And then Cole's like, oh, but he helped me. Oh, but I've got the Bucks. What's going on? And then, yeah, I think that would work a lot better. I just don't know what the idea was, because it does seem like Adam Cole had arranged Kyle O'Reilly's debut based on the segment mm-hmm. and tease last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very glad it's happened. I'm very excited for what's going to go down. But this as an angle was, 60% of its potential for me.
That's totally fair. When you think of Undisputed Era debuting in AEW, it's probably not what a lot of people would have done. I like the subtle and the psychological storytelling, being like, where does Cole allegiances lie? But I guess, honestly, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to let it play out to see where it goes, because I have the faith that AEW will do something good with it.
Oh, yeah.
And also, on a very personal note, Undisputed Era means so much to me. Like, oh my God, they were like the thing that I gravitated towards. Like, for a very, very quick story, all of the tattoos that I currently have are pieces of like media or things that meant a lot to me at one point in my life. So I've got a thing about Harry Potter, which was a huge thing in my childhood. I've got a thing about Pokemon, which was huge. D&D, Avatar: The Last Airbender, all things that like resonated with me and are huge things. And at one point in my life, I wanted to get a wrestling tattoo because wrestling is another huge part of my life. That tattoo that I would have got would have been the Undisputed Era logo at that time when I wanted to get it, because they were the thing that I resonated with. Undisputed Era and Cole in NXT were the thing for me. And seeing them back together here, I was like, my babies, they're back. That made me very happy.
I know what you mean. I went ballistic when CM Punk turned up for WWE backstage.
You did.
So happy. Like, I was like, yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. And it's not an in-ring thing. And it's not like, it's not what I would have done. But still over the moon.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
you see what other people have to say on this?
Let's do
with
it.
The
yeah.
Omega Chats, wrestletalk.com/support. Get them in. Everyone over $5 will read out on air. Hannah Allen says, with her Australian dollars, Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era was the sole reason I held on to WWE. Well, them and WrestleTalk. I love my WrestleTalk fam. Me and WWE, on the other hand, shrug. I honestly have no idea. Haven't watched in a quarter month. A quarter month?
So a week.
A week. Like, oh, then she puts lol.
Yeah.
Stay strong. Lots of love. LIW444 life. Bay Bay. Jacob Smith. Hi, guys. First time Omega Chat. Started watching Wrestle Talk in January when I got my new work from home copywriter role. Thanks for a year of laughs and great content and getting me to watch AEW at last. So trios titles when for Redacted Era versus the Elite Feud. Much love to you.
We have said before that they should introduce trios titles. Even more reason to have trios titles, because it keeps, again, it keeps Adam Cole out of the AEW world title picture for now, but it gives him something really meaningful to do. Having Undisputed Era as trios champions?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. You gotta.
If there was ever a time to do it. Of course, they announced this on the Jericho Cruise in January 2020, I believe. No.
I can't remember.
It was before the pandemic, yeah. So January 2020.
Oh, yeah, of course it was. Yeah.
And yeah, 2 years, nothing happened. So yeah, they've definitely got plans to do it. And you just look at the roster, it's stacked anyway, and it's stacked with factions and a couple of great three-man teams.
Stacked.
Yeah. Hey, have another single elimination tournament. Haven't had one of those for a day. Matthew Robinson, wow, 5 out of 5 show, great main event. Wow, the old school Sting face paint, also with Undisputed Era back. Wow, what a night. Loved MJF running away. Merry Christmas to you all from Naples, Italy. Hope to celebrate with you guys one day. I love Napoli. I went to Massalurenze a couple of years ago, one of my favorite places in the world. The AdNap 2, let's take a moment to remember that Undisputed Era were still together in NXT 10 months ago. What, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was only it wasn't Stand and Deliver, was it? It was the other one. One before Stand and Deliver is when they actually broke up, when Adam Cole super kicked Kyle O'Reilly.
It's always a long year. Know. What a year it's been. Merry Christmas, guys. CM Reg Punk says, glad they got straight into the meat of the Undisputed Era versus Young Bucks Elite story. I wouldn't say the meat, but they definitely got into the appetizers.
Yes.
Hawk the Outcast 823 loved Kyle's debut. Big vibes of Cole's NXT debut. Oh, yeah, of course. That's a nice mirror. Just showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing I would have changed was Bobby being the one having a big surprise, making Adam a little more conflicted when he showed up. Very good idea as well.
That's a much better idea. Yes. All on board for that, too.
Yeah. William Rosmer. So if Cole goes with Undisputed Era, do they slow burn it until Kenny comes back, or does Hangman join the Bucks for the trios matches? In other news, the men of the year Dan Lambert face turn is going well. I'll put him against Cody. Anyone can be a face.
That was a good segment, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. What do you think about how to play out the Bucks side of, if the Undisputed Era have Cole, who do the Bucks have to form their trio?
I think you don't have anyone for a bit, and you tease the tension and like who side is Cole on for a while. You could do it for a couple months at least. And after Cole joins Undisputed Era and leaves the Bucks, not long afterwards, maybe not immediately, but not long afterwards is when Kenny comes back and you have Kenny to reunite with the Bucks to go against Cole in the Undisputed Era.
That would be great. I think Kenny's out for longer than that.
Might be. Yeah.
Just going by injuries. I think Paige is a good idea. I'm not a fan of tying up so many titles in one feud, but if that could be the best way to get Adam Cole versus Hangman Page, which I think should be a really big program next year.
Mm. Yes, I agree.
Well, keep getting in your Omega chats. We'll read out the rest of them at the end of the show. Pete, we've got someone to say thank you to.
We
It's Bubba232, our wonderful moderator. It's his last day today.
Thank you, Paul, for everything. Paul. Been a great moderator. Last stream today. Thank you, Paul. Can we get some love for Paul in the chat? Thanks, Paul.
Cheap
great.
Pops. Cheap pops for all the mods. Cheap pops for all the mods. I was trying to combine cheap pops for mods. Cheap pops for cheap mods. Doesn't really work. Just sounds like I'm nagging them.
Yep.
But yes, thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate all the work. Best of luck.
So this episode of AEW Dynamite, that was our opening. So opened on the Kyle, the match, and then the Kyle debut. And then we went into the Paige Danielson stuff. Of course, last week, hour-long draw, and then no real follow-up. It wasn't like later on they announced anything else. So the first Dynamite of 2022, which will be on TBS next year, not TNT, so a big, big deal. No wonder they're going to do this match then, is Hangman Page versus Bryan Danielson in a rematch.
I was stunned when I saw this. I was like, they're going to hold off in this rematch for ages. Like, they might have Hangman go against someone else first before they come back to Danielson again. But now they're just doing it straight up. I see why. I feel like it might be too soon. I guess I have to see what happens in the match. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it right now.
We're going to let it play out, I think. That's the idea.
Well, maybe we should let it play out.
This turned into a longer segment where Paige came down for an interview with Tony Schiavone. I think they should stop having Schiavone interview people in the ring. People should just come down to cut a promo.
Yes, and I think it's slightly better than my guest at this time, this person, and then they talk, because he actually leads with like something about the person and gives them a little like something to lead in with. But also, it is not an interview. It's him saying, hey, man, you nearly won that match, didn't you? And Paige went, and then did a promo. So he should have probably just done a promo, I think.
Or just introduces them. It's just a tiny bugbear of mine. So Paige comes out, and interestingly, he says he has never felt less of a champion than he did at the end of last week's match in the 3 years that he's been there. And for Paige as a character, those have been an incredibly rough 3 years. So that's saying something. And I guess for the rest of the segment, and then we can get into our thoughts. Danielson comes out, gets a huge reaction, much bigger than Paige's, calls Hangman an entitled millennial cowboy, which is genius. Mm-hmm. How's nobody said that line yet? Apologies if they have. He said this time he's not going to wrestle until January 5th because Paige didn't wrestle for a month before their match last week. And this time he wants judges. So not a no time limit, but he wants judges there because he reckons he took the majority of the match. If it went to a judge's decision, he would win. Paige said they don't need the judges. He'll beat them in 60 minutes. And there's his segment.
I like this a lot. I liked Danielson saying that, I tweaked my knee in my match against John Silver, so wasn't it 100%. So this time I'm not going to wrestle, because I think one of the complaints that you and Luke had beforehand was that Danielson's doing a lot of wrestling and Paige is doing nothing. So I think this time Brian being like, that was really dumb. I shouldn't have wrestled. I'm going to not wrestle before my next match this time. I think that works perfectly as a story. I don't know how much I like the judges. I don't know. I would have preferred them to do a different stipulation or just a no time limit match or something to reference the story, but just going, well, we could have another draw, but we could go to another 60 time limit match, but then we'll just have a judge decide it afterwards. I'm like, that. I just feel like that doesn't work for wrestling, because wrestling isn't real. So you don't actually need a judge's decision. Like, you're choosing to go to a judge's decision when you could have something that's more dramatic as a finish. And then you're choosing to have something that's actively less dramatic. I don't know if I like the judges that much, but that's okay, I guess. It's better than not doing anything and just having another match.
Yeah. So one struggle AEW has is that they are trying to re-educate an audience who's been used to a certain way of wrestling booking for 30, 40 years. And I'm one of those people. And now they're trying to bring in new rules to wrestling, which, you know, have been there, but never really lent on. So the idea of draws, not a thing, really. And they did one, they've done two in the last couple of months. And now they're also like, also judges, which they did do 2 years ago in the Cody match. Who was it
sounds
against?
About right. Couldn't tell you, but it definitely sounds like it's a Cody
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. So they have done it before. So there is precedent for it. However, I just think it's a bit too much change to be, and I can't, I'm always saying embrace change, but I just think it's a few too many layers that are muddying the story. And last week I was like, well, you know, I did, because I was one of the people who was not into the match as everybody else was. It was objectively stunning. Of course, they went 60 minutes. I was really excited by the match. But ultimately, you know, I think Paige needs to be presented stronger. But I was also like, hey, AEW have done things way better time after time than I could ever dream of. So let's see what the next step is. And this is the next step. And none of those sort of doubts have been assuaged.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I still don't feel like Hangman. I don't feel like this is the Hangman show.
No, I don't either. And honestly, when Hangman won the title, I thought, I don't think I ever said this on a podcast. I don't think I ever had a reason to. I am one of the people that thinks that Hangman should probably have a short reign, because a lot of every single AEW champion has had a pretty long reign so far. No one's had a short one so far. And that's good. You're protecting the title. But as the point that you've made a few times, for a story like Hangman's, the drama and the story is in the chase. That's his whole story, was getting to the title. And yes, he shouldn't drop it immediately, 100%. I don't buy that for a second. He should probably have a couple successful defenses first before he then drops it. But I don't feel like his reign should be as long as others that have had it before. And currently, I feel like I'm still correct in that. From the reactions he's getting now, they're not as strong as they were before. It doesn't feel like he's at the peak where he should be right now.
I don't know. Part of me thinks there's value in what you're saying, but there's another part of like, well, you know, you've given him the belt. Give him a freaking 14-month reign and make him the longest running champion and really cement this guy as your biggest homegrown babyface star. I don't know. I can only really assess it right now. Mm. And I think this isn't where it needs to be currently. And yeah, it was concerning seeing how much more Danielson was cheered than Paige. North Carolina are a good crowd. Mm. So yeah. But we'll see, you know, like I'm not down on it. It's not bad. It's just AEW set such a high bar for themselves.
Totally.
Like, you know, I mean, like imagine if we were, I wouldn't even make these criticisms on Raw because it wouldn't be worth it. Because I have to first say why they should do a finish.
Mm. Yeah, exactly, yeah. I also very quickly just like the line that Hangman said, he's come too far to be a B-plus player. Good line, Hangman.
Mm, yeah, that's really good. His end promo was really good, I thought. And at the end, you know, it was very confident. Then he just looks down like that. I thought, ooh, your final expression does not match the words you just said and the way in which you said them. So yeah. I thought that was a very nice touch. After that, we got a Pinnacle promo backstage. MJF is annoyed with Wardlow for not making the save on him last week. And then he stood in front of him for the rest of the promo. Just brilliant.
It's really good staging. And also, he then turned it around to be like, this isn't us. Me and you, we don't fight to Wardlow. And they said, it's CM Punk's fault. And turned it around to the camera. And even though you could tell he was still annoyed at Wardlow and still thinks it is definitely his fault, he's like, no, it's CM Punk. This is what CM Punk does. He does all this stuff. I thought it was a great promo from MJF and from Dax Harwood as well that chimed in afterwards. Thought both of them did a great, great job. Excited for that main event that's coming up later.
Well, When do you think Wardlow's going to split?
I don't know, but I'm very excited for it. Because I don't know whether he should... I'm really torn as to whether Wardlow should actually feud with MJF, or he should split from MJF and just go off and do his own thing. It's like, I'm just done with you. I don't care about you anymore. Please leave me alone. And he just goes off and does his own thing and becomes a really good babyface. But also, I do want him to feud with MJF. But if he does, he should win. And yeah. I just don't want to see MJF lose a lot, because I feel like they're hyping him up to be one of the main guys that goes after maybe Hangman or Danielson or whoever, right, afterwards. So I don't know.
This,
it's been going on for ages.
It's difficult. Yeah. 2 years. See, that's what I mean. You know, here was me last 15 years being like, long-term stories. That's what I need. Give me all the long-term stories. Minimum length for a feud should be a year. And now I'm getting this. And I'm like, oh, it's too long.
Well, the thing with this is, in a way, this is actually very, very similar to people are going to take this out of context and crucify me for it. This is similar to WWE storytelling in the fact that you have a concept, which is Wardlow gets frustrated with MJF and MJF runs him down. And then you repeat that ad nauseum. There's not that much progression in this story. There's been a bit of progression, but there's been not that much. It's still the same story as it was 2 years ago of Wardlow does something that MJF doesn't like. And MJF says, Wardlow, what are you doing, mate? And he goes, you know, and he goes, ah, that's all right. I forgive you. And then they'll carry on. It's mostly the same.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
Wardlow squash Captain Sean Dean.
Didn't even finish making my point, but that's okay.
I thought you were done, sorry. What was the end of your point?
I'm saying that the amount of storytelling that they've done for this feud is not worthy of the time it's taken. There's not enough steps of progression. Long-term stories need to work if you're actually progressing the story, and I don't feel like it's progressed that much.
I think the pace is okay, actually. We got a video package on Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara. Of course, they're fighting for the TNT title this Friday on Rampage.
They are.
No spoilers on this show. Dan Lambert's back. Mm. He's in the balcony bit. He's with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, and he cuts this great Dan Lambert promo as always. Taz is chuckling away. I love this guy, he says. And Lambert says he's been given an impossible task by Tony Khan. Get Cody Rhodes cheered. But Cody Rhodes is more of a dick than I am. It's brilliant.
That was a good promo. I like it. And he was saying that he wants either Ethan or Scorpio to have the next TNT title shot after whoever wins out of Sammy and Cody.
Mm. Love that Lambert's back.
Mm.
Britt Baker is having a Christmas party. It's with Jamie Hayter there, Reba, and Tony Schiavone tries to put the mistletoe over Britt Baker's head, but Jamie slapped it away. Adam Cole is going to destroy him.
He's going to kill him. He's going to actually kill him. It's great.
I want Kyle O'Reilly to debut behind Tony.
Exactly. I do just want to point out as well, I'm new here. Is anyone going to tell me what happened?
Some guy. The ass man. They need to... This is what happened.
I'm an ass man.
That's what happened.
Jesus Christ. Can we not? I know it's Christmas and everything, but good God.
Oh, wait, we've got a reaction to that, actually. We've got a reaction. Oh, did God. You guys just see that? Oh, Jesus. So there's a lot of clips that have been left in here.
Oh, yeah, they're all there. I use them sometimes. They're great.
Oh.
Great hairline you got there, mate.
Good grief. Pretending that part of this year never happened.
Also,
I went from the shaved head to this. The in-between also, is horrid.
Still my favourite comment I've ever seen. Plus, you're kindling wrestler talk.
Wrestler no talk! yeah, so Britt Baker, she cuts a promo on Riho, essentially. We got a video package describing the Owen Hart tournament. Really nice video package. Just put over Owen as a wrestler and a human being. Had talking heads from like Mark Henry, Matt Hardy, and then the younger guys who are like, you know, I used to watch him so much as a kid. This was lovely. I still know nothing about the tournament.
Not a clue. They will be fighting for the Owen, but I don't know what that means yet. But I'm sure we'll find out in due course.
Doesn't know. We don't know what the like the sort of outcome is, like what you get if you win. We don't know the structure. For me, we had the Eliminator tournament for the men. We've just had the TBS. We're in the TBS tournament, sorry, for the women. I just want a G1.
Yeah.
Is that so much to ask?
Yeah. Round Robin tournament sounds delightful.
But there will be a men's and women's tournament. I guess that's something we did learn, and that it will culminate at Double or Nothing. Which is long.
Yeah. It's a long old tournament. Yeah. That lends more credence to a round robin style thing. Although, to be fair, the TBS tournament's been going on for ages. which, to be fair, I quite like. But we'll get into more of that in a second.
Well, speaking of, Nyla Rose versus Ruby Soho in the TBS semifinals, where it was actually a three-way with Ruby's jacket getting involved at the start.
You know what? I liked that she got caught in her jacket. This is a strong nitpick on my part. I understand this is not an actual complaint or something. I would have really loved if Nyla Rose like took advantage of, like, they called a little bit of an audible, and Nyla just like, you know, punched her around for a bit with Ruby like trying to like get her hand out of the jacket and tried to make it into an angle to be like that kind of thing. They didn't really, like, Nyla was trying to help her get the jacket off at points. She's like, can you just get this jacket off now? I want to get the match underway. But still, it was funny to watch it.
Yeah. This match was okay. I never really got fully into it, but I really liked the finish. Ruby's shoulder was worked over after Vicky Guerrero got involved. Kicks out of a beast bomb, which is pretty protected. Huge, and then Nyla's going up to the second rope, but Ruby pulls her down into... what's it called? It's not the riot kick. No future?
Sure.
Yeah, no future kick, I think. It's not the riot kick anymore. And she won. And I thought Ruby's selling, actually, at the end was terrific. I thought she was actually injured.
Yeah. Legitimately, really, really good stuff. I loved the selling of the shoulder through the match. I thought was really, really effective. Love the finish. I really liked that Ruby Soho won as well. Thumbs up all round. Really enjoyed this.
But as Duke Tastrophe writes, this is why you've got to use a worked jacket. Can't be wearing shoot jackets down to the ring, people.
No, absolutely. The sleeves are too tight.
After that, we got a recap of Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida's feud. They've had three matches so far. And Deeb called out Shida for another match, claiming Shida cheated last week, when, of course, it was Deeb who cheated. I feel like this feud, unfortunately, should have climaxed last week, but they went for a bit of a schmoz finish. So this was such a hot feud, and now it's not.
Yeah, it's just fallen off a little bit. Serena seems to be having a good time. She said recently, like, she confirmed that she was working as a producer and coach for AEW, which is awesome. She's great. I felt like this feud deserved a bit more than it's gotten currently.
Griff Garrison came out next to take on Malakai Black. Oh, man. How good is Malakai Black?
I, just on his entrance, as the music was playing and he was making his entrance, my notes literally say, God, I love everything about Black. His entire presentation is amazing. Because I think something that people might get confused when we talk about other like gimmicks and stuff in WWE and that, is that I don't inherently like creepy, supernatural-ish gimmicks. I think they're awesome. They look so cool. I like when stuff is actually supernatural, when people are teleporting and using stuff that doesn't actually make logical sense, and you actually need to like have magic and stuff. That's when I'm like, okay, I don't want to watch this anymore. But this sort style of presentation, I absolutely love this stuff. He looks amazing.
I love him so much. I think really, like, we're talking about Adam Cole going for the title. I think they better push Malakai Black into a title picture. Could be the TNT title. But I think he's main event worthy. I think it's definitely worth a gamble on a quarterly special or something. He is so good. He kicks Griff in the head right away. Wrestles a little bit. Griff was really good here as well. Black gave him enough without ever making it look like he was out of control. Griff's injured knee was targeted, and Black made him tap in a half Boston crab, which I thought was a nice heel move. I'm not going to give you fans another Black Mass, but he kicked Pillman in the head afterwards.
I love it so much. I'm such a huge fan of the way that AEW, everyone has like three different finishes, and also if someone's injured, you can just do a normal move and it totally works. Mm-hmm. And they know how to work the psychology when you know that, oh yeah, this is a legit finish. That totally makes sense. It's like when Walter beat Tommaso Ciampa with a chop. Perfect. Wouldn't change a thing about that. That's amazing. They worked the psychology of that match to have that be the finish. Having this just end on a single leg Boston crab. Oh, delightful. Because he worked over the leg. He's got an injured knee. It's perfect. Oh.
No Brody King. There was a no. I thought we might get some interaction of a new House of Black member, as was set up last week, but maybe for the new year. Got a couple of big shows to stack up with. So no need to do it here. Matt Hart. Yeah. And you had Carl actually in the opening. So that would have been the wrong move to debut too many people. It's not the end of All Out. Then we got a promo with Matt Hardy and Private Party. He said that Isaiah Cassidy's going to pound Jungle Boy's ass at Rampage on Friday. You can APA. Hear the crowd laugh.
APA, always pound an ass.
You heard the crowd laugh at that. And then it cuts to Christian, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus. And they like say, well, I'm going to shove some coal up your ass. It's going to turn into diamonds. It was good. Good stuff. I like seeing Matt Hardy and Christian, you know, kind of mentoring tag teams. It's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Also, we then got the announcement just before the main event. Hook is on Rampage. Hook. I love Hook.
I thought you were going to say JR is back next week.
Well, yeah. That's amazing. Don't. Wasn't that earlier?
I thought I've got it in my notes here. Good for Hook. I've been here. Excited for Hook. I mean,
give me more Hook.
It's all about Sue. Where's my super friends?
I'm a hooker. I want Hook. Give me Hook.
But great news, JR, who has been undergoing treatment for cancer at the moment. He's been off for a couple of weeks now. It's in Jacksonville next week, and that's where he's based, I think. So yeah, he's going to be on commentary. Awesome. Well done, JR. I do miss him, although I have loved Taz. I'm going to miss Taz.
Yeah, Taz is so good.
I want all the commentators, but I don't. It should no more than
that's
three.
That's too many.
But I love them all. But the main event of this show was what wrestling should be at Christmas time. This was 100% fun. It was 100% great booking. It was 100% serious in a way as well. So you've got a match that's 300% right there.
Yeah, this was so good. There were so many parts where you just went, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's fun. Oh, that's a nice little fun thing. Oh, that's really fun. Oh, that's also fun, isn't it? That was just me throughout this entire main event, just being like, oh, that's fun. And I, like, you came out initially and you had, you know, they were in North Carolina, big FTR kind of country. That's kind of like their whole, like, what they're basing their entire gimmick off is the whole North Carolina wrestling and all that stuff. That's great. Sting, what a timeline we're in. That Sting came out wearing a CM Punk t-shirt with CM Punk face paint on. Like,
oh my God.
What? That doesn't make any sense. And CM Punk, and literally when you had Sting and Darby come out with their various face paint stuff, I was like, I mean, Punk has to come out with Sting face paint on, right? Like that's got to happen. And then he came out in Sting face paint. I was like, yeah, let's go, Punk. Thank God
but
they did
Surfer
it.
Surfer Sting. Surfer Sting.
Yeah, Surfer Sting.
Paint.
Yeah, legit. Oh, So good. Such a lovely, lovely callback. But then they got into the match and it was MJF and CM Punk facing off. And I was like, surely not. Surely they're not going to have MJF and CM Punk start off this tag match. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm such a mark because I literally bought into them just being like, surely they can't. And like the commentator's like, oh, MJF not backing down from CM Punk here. And I was like, why? Why would you have them wrestling in the 6 month tag? This doesn't make any sense. And then they started like circling each other around the ring. I was like, man, they're really going to do it. This is really weird. And then MJF runs and tags out. I was like, of course he is. I'm such an idiot. God, you moron, Pete.
And they wouldn't touch for the entire match. They still have not touched. MJF ran out the ring or tagged out every time. At one point, MJF sprints up the stands fast. Got some cardio, that boy. Ran up, Punk chased him, and then he runs down the other side, runs into, like, round the ring, into the ring, tags out. Just, this was almost house show. And I mean that in the most positive way, because I love house shows. That's where people can have actual fun. So to capture that tone, that sort of carefree tone, and put it in a serious feud, and those two things not jar, amazing work. But yeah, I don't think we've actually said the match for people who haven't seen it. It's MJF and FTR versus Punk, Darby and Sting. Match set up on last week's show. And yeah, they went long. It was like 20, 25 minutes long. Really good wrestling throughout all those spots. Just the joy of seeing Sting, Punk and Darby, the face paint boys all together. And the spot everyone's talking about really is, I think MJF DDTs Sting and Sting just stands right back up. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But MJF's got his back to him. Sting then throws MJF over the top rope, not a flip bump, but just like a Superman saw, and FTR are there waiting for him, but he somehow overshoots them and he goes head first onto the ground.
Yeah, this is one of those where where as soon as he threw him, I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he went too far. I was like, oh, no. And then he hit. I was like, oh, no, MJF, please be okay. And immediately you can see, like, Cash Wheeler rolling over him to be like, yeah, okay, buddy. And luckily he was. He was right back up for the next spot. For the next spot, Ollie, oh, my God. Sting is 62 years old. 62. Years old, and he does a top rope crossbody to the outside. Sting, please stop. You're going to die. But don't stop because it's amazing. Oh my God, so much fun. Oh, just... what can you say about this match? Like you said, big house show vibes. All the right pops in the right places. Sting got a big hot tag. The pop for him was insane when he got his hot tag run the street. All doing like Stinger splashes, and Darby like got him stacked up in the corner, and like Darby does a run into the corner. Punk does his high knee. Sting does a Stinger splash. It was all just like all just really good feel good moments throughout this whole match. So, so good. GTS got countered into the big rig at one point, and I was like, oh, look, this is amazing. Just so many like fun spots throughout the whole thing. And but then, yeah, they all hit their finishes, like big multi-man style match of GTS, Scorpion, Death Drop, Coffin Drop, and they get the win. Awesome. Love it. What a match. So fun.
Baby faces at Christmas time go over.
Yeah.
But the hometown boys beaten in their hometown. What is this company? Disgusting. Yeah. Overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Of course you did. I mean, in fairness, I do probably think it's a 4 out of 5 show, but I gave it like a 7 out of 5. I don't care. I had so much fun. This is great.
Well, dude,
after NXT yesterday, which devolved into me reviewing a hamper instead of talking about the show, this was so fun. And I got to see Carter Riley in AEW. This is good. Oh, wow. I love this.
Before we get on with the rest of the Omega chats and our podcast shout-outs, we have someone who was at the show. It's WrestleTalk.com's own Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all? Can
you hear me okay? Good. Yeah, hey, you good. So you were at the Greensboro Coliseum. Am I saying that right? Greensboro?
That's right. Greensboro, yes.
North Carolina.
That's correct. Also, North Carolina. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We're right next to,
yeah, we're right next to Washington. You know, perfect.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. So what was the show like? Just generally, what was the experience last night?
Also, no spoilers for Rampage. Please and thanks.
I gotcha. It was great, man. I always enjoy going to AEW. It's so different to me and I hate to compare it to WWE, but it has that more indie show vibe because, like, it seems like the crowd's generally pretty smart and likes to play along, with the exception of one person. They seem not to play along with, Cody most of the time. Yeah, it's great, man. And we had so much fun. I took my 11-year-old. He's been with me to the last two shows I've been with. And, there's four guys all in, like, their late 20s, early 30s, all hammered, sitting in front of us. And, you know, they convinced the cameraman to come over and for Rampage. When you see the start of Rampage, you're going to see a little blonde-headed 11-year-old with his Cody shirt on going crazy. And then they zoom out. And so made his Christmas, you know, so it's just a great show and great to be there.
Oh, that's good. See, even the drunk fans are nice. That's the sort of tone you want.
Well,
fans a good name.
Right. There was one bad fan. I'm sure you all have seen on the internet, the guy that got thrown out for his bad sign. But, you're going to have one in every crowd, right?
Yeah, no place for them, which is good.
No,
good on AEW.
Absolutely
not. So last time when you came on, you told us who your son cheered, and this was fascinating. So who was he cheering for this time? Oh, you are breaking up a tad, Nate.
He's gone. Frozen. He's gone entirely.
Was it something I said?
We don't know. Maybe it was a sign from Malachi Black or something. He's just been taken out of the stream. It's the supernatural powers that he's got.
It's next year. We'll all be sitting there waiting for Brody King to come out with Malachi Black, and Nate is just going to walk onto the screen. Oh, he's back. Let me see if that holds up.
Yeah.
The return.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. My whole website just decided to refresh. But no, he's still Cody through and through. He also is a big Orange Cassidy fan. And then he basically would look at me and say, who am I supposed to cheer for if he didn't know? So I was trying to get him to cheer for the right people. But he hates MJF, but he makes him laugh. So, you know, when MJF's running through the crowd, he's just cracking up. It was interesting, though, because, you know, the last time I came on, I talked a little bit about the John Cena with Cody effect going on. I'm interested to see. I don't want to give anything away, but there were the crowd interactions during the Rampage main event were pretty interesting. And I'll be interested to see. It has nothing to do, but it was like when he comes out, you'll hear a very similar chant to one that you may have heard years ago in WWE, but with a different name in it. And so
what is in a let's go Cody sucks.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Oh my God.
That's fun.
But it did quickly turn into a let's go Sammy Cody sucks. So the men outweighed the Cody fans in the crowd. But yeah, so that was interesting. And so it was, you know, it's interesting. That doesn't give anything away in terms of the match. It was just, which I was surprised because North Carolina, you know, was sort of really the first place where he got booed heavily. And so I wasn't sure how they were going to handle him coming back. But, you know, the crowd really during the whole show, you know, FTR is from North Carolina, as you know. But Griff Garrison, I don't know if you noticed, came out in his high school. And I don't know how they handled that on the – yeah. Yeah, so he had his high school jacket, same high school that I went to, actually. And so he had huge – yes, close.
Yeah.
Maybe like 30 years difference. But if you, where the hard cam were, was, if you looked to the right of the ring, like the first three rows were all people there just supporting him. So he had like the whole first three rows, Griff Garrison section. Nice. And so he had apparently bought a bunch of tickets for them and all of that. So I'm not sure all of them were as heavily invested wrestling fans as what you might normally see in the first three rows. So it was kind of interesting to see them get involved, especially when FTR and MJF got the crowd riled up. It was pretty good to see some folks that I personally know that aren't really wrestling fans, but screaming and yelling at MJF because he's that good to piss them off, right? And so it was good. I mean, he did, man. It was, I thought Dax was going to, I don't know how it showed on television. I haven't watched it back, but Dax got into it with a dude who was in full makeup Sting next to the ring. And I thought they were really, I thought they were going to have to throw the guy out because he was about to come over the barricade and he wouldn't just chill out.
But, with Dax. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of questions for various spots on the show, like the standout moments. What was the reaction to Kyle? How did that play out in the arena?
So it went really, I mean, it was a big pop. But because you were there, you had the camera setting up. And so, like, we saw him come down through the back area, walk out, hop over the rail, hide. And so then you guys just, I saw the YouTube clip, him just pop up in the screen, right? So, like, it really built to anticipation. And I'm sure you could hear that on television. I don't know how the audio played it out, but, you know, it was pretty cool to see him come in. I think a lot of the fans who were AEW fans were ROH fans when all of them were in ROH at the same time. And so you see a lot of folks who are aware of who he is.
What's an ROH?
Yes. I know you're a big fan of Ring of Honor, Ollie. I know you were back in the day.
I hope it comes back.
Yeah. I was at not that this is about AEW, but I was at WrestleCade a few weeks ago and talked with several folks who are involved in ROH, both on the commentary team and backstage. And they've all said they have buildings booked and the expectation is that they'll be back in April, but that it's going to be a very different product. I just have a hard time with understanding how that's going to be, though.
So it's going to be ROH 2.0. Lots of colors.
Yes.
Stop it, Pete. So, Kyle, how was the Paige-Danielson split? Because to me, watching at home, Hangman's reaction seemed to be, you know, a bit muddled, whereas Danielson got a really, really strong pop.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say that it was, I think it was 100% like positive towards Paige. I didn't hear any boos or anything, but I do think that it wasn't as loud as some of the others. It just wasn't quite as the massive pop as you heard for like Sting and CM Punk later on. And then I think people, you know, it's interesting because, you know, typically AEW has a lot of huge, you know, a big crowd, a lot of smart fans. But I'm still thinking, you know, that some of the folks that Brian or Danielson and Punk and Sting have brought back maybe aren't as familiar with Paige. So I don't know that he's caught on quite as well. But then you think about a guy like Hook. So Hook later on, you know, he's on Rampage and they had several, Tony Khan comes out, you know, before dark, before each show. And whenever he mentioned Hook, the place just went nuts, right? And he went nuts too. He's like jumping up and down, like doing his little foot stomps that he does, you know, because he's so excited. And so like you think, okay, well, Hook's been on TV, done nothing but one pretty cool match. And so, you know, he still is over. So I'm not sure if the draw took a little bit away from the pop or not, because the last time Paige was here, the place went ballistic when he came out to that intro when they had the elimination match.
It's like cheering Hook is almost the boo Cody. It's the same emotion, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Well, we've got a bunch of Omega chats to get to. So thank you very much, Nate, for popping on the stream. Very jealous of you. Are you doing any more AEW shows next year?
So January 8th, Battle of the Belts. I'll be there.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And then the following week, January 12th, they're in Raleigh. So I'm going to Dynamite and Rampage tapings on the 12th as well.
Go away, Nate. Go away.
Well, you should be like Kenny Omega and move to North Carolina, right? And so
North Carolina. Merry Christmas, Nate, and have a happy
Merry
New
Christmas,
year.
You guys. All right.
We'll get Thank you on the you show guys, in man. January. Bye bye bye.
Thanks, Nate. What a guy.
I want to go to Battle of the Belts.
Yeah, so do I.
I want to go to Dynamite. Before we get in with the Omega chats, let's get into these Patreon pledge hammers. Thank you ever so much, everyone who supports this channel. If you do, and you pledge $25 a month or more, you'll get a shout out on this very show, like Brian Null and Boyd.
Woo! Thank you. The true Alpha Wolf.
Yeah. Manipulating Manny Amaria.
Max Kurt Warlander Wallen.
Yeah. Yeah. The Junus Brothers, Junus Hakkonen.
Yeah. Yeah. I can take some kind of bump, Aaron.
Yeah. Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah. WrestleTalk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
Yeah. He's got two first names, Matt Howard.
David Lucasfilm. Yeah.
The man with the scoops, Sean.
Yeah. The audience plant, Rory Grant. I don't know why I said that like there are more of them, because that is the last one.
You had the inflection wrong, didn't you?
I did. I got too excited. I was too excited by the yeahs and the claps.
We've actually had loads of Omega chats come in. Let's get to these.
Let's do it.
Mr. Not-So-Casual says, Young Bucks bad friends confirmed. They abandon Hangman when he needs them, don't help Omega after promising to do so, and then just looked at Cole with jealous eyes when he finally reunited with a friend he had beef with. We need friendship counselling.
Maybe they do. Maybe it's the Bucks all along.
They're toxic friends, I think we can all agree. BLDog97. Most definitely some lofty fantasy booking here, but what if the Bucks take the face side of the program versus the redacted era, and they reform the Golden Elite and bring Ibushi over from New Japan for a bit? P.S. Got engaged yesterday.
Congratulations
BLDog97. If that happens, I want Omega to... I think Ibushi should come over for Omega, so I'm going to say...
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bit lofty. Hannah Allen. MJF is golden. Well, gosh, this Dan Lambert, he probably should try shooting more straight. He gets heat. Dickhead heat. And I'm supposed to hate him. I also live in Australia, so he could be my best mate, lol. My best mate, lol. We hate this man, right? Jam that jam. All the love.
Thank you. I love Dan Lambert. He's great.
I love Dan Lambert. Peter Mullins, to quote Sean Ross Sapp, surely this is now the time to bring out the Trios titles. It could be King of Trios style with guest teams challenging. Wyatt family of free agents. EC3, Braun and Cross are about. Yeah, but Braun would be in both the Wyatt family and that faction. Yeah. Primo, Epico and Carlito, BWO are still making dates. Do it.
Shane Taylor Promotions. Get them in.
Mm-hmm. AEW also have... quite enough trios already, I think.
You
don't need to
do
too many invitations.
Well.
With the New Japan relationship as well, you know, you've got a lot of factions there. And their own six-man titles. Mm. Trevor Sievert. I see a lot of parallels between the Hangman story and mental health. As someone who struggled with depression, seeing the highs and lows and how others can support and bring you up speaks to me personally. I love this story so much. Thoughts?
Agreed. Yes. that's the short version. I probably have a lot more thoughts than that, but to keep it short, yes.
It's definitely psychologically realistic to not have all their problems solved upon achieving a thing.
Yes.
Zui Sung, Pete gets to watch a good show for a change. He looks happier too. That's the wine, Zoe. And it's going to happen. Ruby going to win on TBS and the confetti is going to be 2002. Sorry, Pete, no Pokemon shout. This is AEW, no gimmicks, only happy.
It's fine. Just do the Pokedex on the other shows because I need that to make me smile.
Roy Carter, thanks for the self-aware, let it play out. They have perfectly matched arenas where I'm still entertained, but have apprehensions. Watched a lot of Wrestle Talk this year. Thanks for all the entertainment, and may you all have peaceful holidays. Thanks, Roy. Thanks for your generous chat as well. That's very nice. Nick Cordell, this was a great show. It was actually my first big wrestling event ever, and I had a blast. I even got to flip off MJF when he passed me by while running up the stairs. Definitely a night I will always remember. The crowd goes wild during Rampage.
Nice. Good stuff.
Mr. Not-So-Casual, since Omega seems like he'll unfortunately be out for a while, the first trio's champions should be the powerhouse, Starks, and Hook. Also, Ollie looks like Mr. Fantastic these days. Good on you. I'll take that. Oh, yeah, because he's got the silver hair, hasn't he? Hangman having a short reign as his first would be peak New Japan.
I don't know if that's a good thing these days.
Yeah, it's usually because the champions get injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Hawk the Outcast, 823. To anyone who has seen Dodgeball, how much over will Hangman be if he loses the title, becomes known as the shortest reign in AEW history, but doesn't fall back to being a drunk? Even better, this could be Hangman's Rocky III.
I really like it.
No one says Rocky III's a good one.
No, that's true. I mean, the thing with Hangman is I think the intrigue of Hangman and what makes him interesting is that the drawbacks and the things that make him like the psychology of him is the interesting part of Hangman. That's what makes him an interesting character. Sure, he's a great wrestler and we enjoy his in-ring work and stuff like that, but the real draw of Hangman is the psychology behind him and his character. So having another thing that knocks him back a peg will then make him more interesting again, but I guess at some point you have to like pay that off and make him like I don't like to use this word, but like to make him better, you know. I think that should be what happens in the end, but I don't know how you do that without taking away what makes him interesting.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I don't think I've ever seen a mental health attribute be used in a wrestling story, so I don't know how it can be done effectively. I guess, like, and I don't want to equate things to other things in real life. I'm talking purely from how it would work as a story perspective. Would the way to treat it, do you think, be like an injury? You know, like how certain people, they've always got, oh, you'd target the neck, wouldn't you? Because like Miro, like that's his weak spot. With Hangman Page, it's his confidence. So that is, it's just, you target that bit of his anatomy, but it's actually in his head.
Yeah, that could totally work. I don't know. I feel like there's some point where he needs to overcome that obstacle, I guess. I feel like that's just the natural storyline progression, is that he would then, you're setting up the obstacle for him to overcome it, right? And that would be the point of it, I guess. I don't know. I know he did. But that, like you said, it's not just fixed, right? It's not just overcome it because he's done the thing. You now need to keep that going. I don't know. I'll see what AEW does. They're better at this than I am.
Uncharted waters, really, of booking. Blinken 1995. Hi, guys. Who do you think should take the belt off Hangman? I think MJF is being positioned to do so. Also, for Pete, are you watching the new Critical Role campaign?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm part of the YouTube gang because I can't watch it live on a Thursday night, obviously, or Friday morning, I guess, my time. And I'm like halfway through the latest episode 7 or 8 or whatever it is. It's good.
I think Danielson, for a money perspective, I think a big mainstream name that's already established.
I think, Danielson taking him off it would be good. I wouldn't be opposed to MJF doing it either. I think either are good options.
Kevin. So this is a bit of dialogue that happened on Dynamite near the end. Taz, I'm sure JR would have loved to see that. Tony, By the way, JR will be here next week, folks. Taz. Oh, so I'm out. Cool. Taz is so funny on commentary. I love it. Also, go tell your past self that Sting and Punk will be in the main event of Dynamite.
Can you imagine? It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's insane.
This time last November. No Sting, no Punk.
Absolutely ridiculous. Not even a whiff of Punk anywhere near this at all. Insane.
Kevin, also, I haven't been super chatting much lately. I don't really care about WWE and don't have much time for AEW, but I really appreciate your work and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Also, I came fourth in Fanquizzlemania. Come on. That is very, good. There's a lot of people who play that.
Yeah, it was good fun, this Fanquizzlemania. Thought it was a laugh. Me, Andy, and Tempest having a good time.
They always are. Nate S., speaking of ass man, check out Danhausen's vlog where he pulls up to the ass boys on his scooter. You can tell Billy Ass really gets a kick out of Danhausen. Also, I can't believe I'm going to get to see an Undisputed Era match in AEW in person next week. Very excited.
Yeah, something we didn't mention is they're going to have a six-man tag next week.
Mm. Who against?
Cassidy and Trent and okay. Other lad.
Makes sense.
Yeah, best friends.
Chucky.
Yeah,
Justin Edelheat, first Ultra Chat in a while. How are you guys? I met CM Punk for the first time at C2E2 a couple of weeks ago. My friend said it felt like Punk didn't want to be there. also met Ken Anderson. Surely you mean Arn Anderson. Christopher Daniels and Lance Archer. Happy holidays, Jam That Jam.
Lovely, thank you.
Christopher Jazzcat, I enjoyed the Punk Sting Derby versus MJFTR. MJFTR, that's a good name. Way more than I thought I would. Just now?
No, on the episode of Dynamite, they kept calling him MJFTR.
Oh, that didn't hear that.
MJF said it in his promo.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well done, Christopher Jazzcat. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well done, Jazzcat. Yeah, well done. Well done. Good.
Maybe I was just in a happy mood because we got my favorite tag team back from the dead. Red Dragon versus Young Bucks and Cole versus O'Reilly again. Please, 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 please. They only just got put together.
Not Cole versus O'Reilly anytime soon. No way. Give me all of the Undisputed Era and all of the Red Dragon first.
I'll pass over to you to see us out here.
Sure thing. One last salute said, Pete, did we become enemies? I got a Johnny Gargano, his winky face emo on my leg, tattoo after he beat Cole for the NXT championship. I mean, that's fair. That's totally fair. I would have, the time I wanted to get my Undisputed Era tattoo was before that, I believe. It was when they were peak dominance and all that jazz. John Rye said, Merry Christmas to everyone at WrestleTalk. You guys were a big part of my year. You guys helped me find my love of wrestling again. And can Ollie tell his friend Tony Khan to hire more women and put them on TV? Starting to look like a sausage fest.
I've been telling him for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just blows me off. He's not answering any of my messages.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, he pays us. You really think we'd have a more like direct line of contact, right?
Just one-way traffic. Yeah,
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Greg Murphy said, meant to donate on the Raw review, but didn't get the chance. Merry Christmas to the lads. Never undervalue what you do. So here's a donation to my favorite YouTubers. The richest wrestling reviewers in town. Let's put that one, pull that one back in a little bit. P.S. Wonderful Life is a classic.
Yes. Correct. Movie choice.
I heard there was some discourse about that on the old Raw podcast about Wonderful Life.
Well, it's just Sean Ross Sapp and Denise said it was a boring film. But I don't think it's a boring film. I think people who say it's a boring film are themselves boring.
I haven't seen it.
But thank you, Greg. Greg, with that very generous donation, we might just be the richest YouTubers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Respect My Beard said, no words for the show. Just wanted to thank you for your great work this year and for the opportunity to implement Quizlemania in Germany. That was very kind of you. Wish you happy holidays. Stay healthy and carry on like this. Many greetings, Volker. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Volker.
Dan God of Thunder said, Merry Christmas or whatever winter holiday y'all celebrate. Pete is not a miniature. This is from the No Rolls Barred Discord, where there's a chat where people can show off their minis that they've painted. And I just waited. I was bored and I just looked at the Discord and saw that chat. And I was like, If I post pictures of myself, I'm very small. Do I count as a mini? It's a joke that I made in that. I'm very funny, you see. Keith Lloyd said, a big Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you guys all the way from Indiana. Wednesdays will always be the filet mignon of wrestling nights. My New Year resolution is to finally become a Patreon of Wrestle Talk. Keep up the great work. Jam that jam, L-I-W, for life. Thank you very much. And yes, you get awesome things on Patreon. You would have so much content. Oh my God. The entire backlog of Wrestle Talk Extra and Wrestle Talk After Dark? That's a lot of shows. Oh my God. And also, like, Patreon shoutouts and stuff if you pledge at the higher tiers. It's good.
And Fankwizzlemania.
Fankwizzlemania at the $10 tier. After Dark, Extra, polls, so much stuff. Wrestle League, so much stuff. Oh, goodness me. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Tyler Woodward said, hi, guys. First Omega chat for me in a long time. Hope you guys have a great Christmas. Thank you for everything this year. Jam that jam. LIW for life. LIW is fine. Obviously, it's fine. Why would you even bring it up? We're fine. And last minute Omega Chats here. Bubba232, our lovely moderator that is leaving after today's stream. No, thank you, Wrestle Talk. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, Paul. You're great. We're going to miss you very much. And William Rosmer says, Rocky 3 is great. It's just not as good as 1 and 2 and 1 and 2 and 4. Also, I came 33rd on my first Fan Quizzlemania. That's honestly close to the bottom, but good try.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here and for all your very generous chats there. That's very nice of you all. This is my last show until next year. Well, me and Pete will be back doing Raw just for that day. And then it's me and Luke back again on AEW that Thursday. Thursday the 7th, I believe.
Sure. Yeah. Sixth.
Sixth. Yeah. But yeah. Have a very Merry Christmas, everybody. Enjoy Rampage on Friday. I don't know how I'm going to watch it. I'm at my lady partner's house with her family. And can I sneak out for an hour somewhere?
You can watch it when you get back, you know. It's possible to watch it not on, like, Saturday.
I don't know. We've just had a few more chats come in. Christopher Jazzcat, one more Omega chat to say happy holidays. Thank you for everything you folks do. Hope everyone in the community has a great year ahead. And Justin Edelheat, Mr. Kennedy was the nicest of the bunch. He called me an asshole. It was literally one of the best days of my life. That's great. Yeah. I love Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Anderson. Yeah.
Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Merry Christmas, everyone. There's not going to be a Friday show tomorrow, right? Because everyone's off. So there's no Friday show tomorrow. That's going to be all.
But there's a lot of pre-recorded best of the year stuff going out. Like the prediction show, the Christmas special is out on Saturday. Dear God, the audio's not great.
It's not a good video. It's really not. I've watched it. Mm-mm. It's audio's real bad. We sing a lot. But it's fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
It's a bit where I'm just...
People like it.
You can hear my clip on mic as I walk away. I'm just showing Tom where the toilets are. You can just hear that in the background. It's great. Like, you know, it's a video, is what it is.
Okay, so what is your process on the day? You wake up.
Going through the whole Christmas day.
It's just you, no brothers. They're in another country.
Currently, yes, no brothers.
They fled the Quinnells.
Not these days. They did. Yeah, we're very spread out. Some are in Canada, some are in Scotland. Got to see them last week in Scotland, which was lovely. Drove up there and got to see them. Got to see my niece
and
nephews.
You drove to Scotland?
Yeah.
Pete, you've gone driving mad. He hasn't driven for what, like 10 years? And then you got insured on a car. You went round an Asda car park once. You're like, all right, let's drive to Scotland. That way.
I did not just drive.
Is it an automatic or a manual?
No, it's a manual.
You're a freaking madman, Pete.
I drove a few times, you know, I went between my place and my lady partner's place a few times, which goes like through Blackwall Tunnel and have to go through various roads and stuff like that. Was getting used to that. And then we're like, well, it's a motorway. So how hard can it be? It's fine. We split the driving. It wasn't like I did all of it. I just did the vast majority. But anyway, we drove to Scotland, got to see my family. That was lovely. My process on Christmas Day is wake up, stockings, first thing, boom, early rising, get stockings done. And
stockings are in the room, are they?
Stockings are at, like, outside your door to your bedroom. Because in the night, Father Christmas will have left them there for you, was the what we were told anyway.
Do you put mince pies, carrots, mulled wine, well, sherry?
We used to, yeah. Which was, I think we did.
Talcum powder by the door or the chimney to catch his footprints?
No, didn't do that. That's really creative, actually. That's very cool.
I was trying to figure out a way to catch him. I think if I grew up these days, I'd have blinks and webcams all set up.
Legit. Have a recording going the whole night and then scan through it in the night. Where the hell is he? But we used to leave out carrots and milk, I think, was our one. Carrots for the reindeer, milk for Santa, and a cookie, maybe. I don't know.
My dad liked the sherry, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But we just, I think it was more kid-friendly to just be like, milk, that'll do. And then as kids, when it was me and my brothers, we all used to go onto my parents' bed, and then we all used to open all our stockings because we all used to fit on my parents' bed. And we used to open up the stockings together. And then when we all grew up, we didn't used to fit on the bed. So we got on the bed anyway. And it was a tight squeeze. And then we all just kept opening stockings as we got older. It was great. So I guess I'll be doing that again this year. I'll just be sitting on the foot of my parents' bed opening stockings on Christmas Day morning. And then because my parents get one for each other as well. It wasn't just for the kids. And then we'll have some breakfast. Bucks Fizz, you know. Whatever breakfast we have, it'll be very, very light because it's, you know, saving ourselves for the big roast dinner later.
Daytime drinking's okay.
Oh, yeah. Of course it
is. Christmas Eve, like probably a few days beforehand, all the way through to the end of the festivities. What? Sorry, what? Peter's just materialized a glass of red wine that seems to be pretty low down anyway.
I mean, it's a really nice bottle of wine that I got from a lovely hamper. If you didn't catch the NXT review yesterday, by the way, it devolved into reviewing the hamper that I got rather than NXT because I didn't want to talk about NXT.
What hamper?
It's a lovely hamper I got from work, actually.
oh, those guys.
But I just started reviewing that instead. And that wine, you know what? I don't really like red wine at all. I just drink rosé, really. Mm. And I'm not a huge fan of white or red in particular. So I was like, oh, screw it. I'll do a taste test because I did a taste test of everything else on the review yesterday. Took a swig straight from the bottle and I was like, oh, that's actually quite nice. So,
well done, Pete. I think you've just grown up.
I think I'm now a man. I think that's how that works, right?
No, you're not a man. You're just a cultured person.
My taste buds have developed. That's what it is. It's allowed. It's Christmas, right? I can drink on the stream. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm just now worried about if you're like half cut or anything. Not even on the podcast.
That was genuinely like that glass was not very full. I was going to do it for a bit, but then we started talking about alcohol, and I was like, well, the timing seems right for this bit. I was going to
It's okay. I mean, but I'll now be keeping tabs on you just in case it's a problem.
Just in case you see me refilling 3-4 times.
Yeah. You know, like, if I hear the glugging, because it's not a wide shot. I can see a wider shot in the back end below us.
That's true.
Yeah. But if I'm talking for quite a long time about how much I love Sting and CM Punk and Darby, the face paint gang together, and I hear a glug, 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 and all of a sudden your wine glass is full again. Yeah. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to kick you from the stream.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that checks out. I like it. Because we only have a few minutes left before we need to get into the show, there was something I did want to talk about, actually, because I was listening to WrestleTalk Extra, your TakeOver London show that was on Patreon a couple weeks ago. and the first hour is just chat about whatever. And a large portion of that chat was talking about the work Christmas party. And a large portion of that was just talking about me.
Yeah. Well, what do we call you? So, not edgy Pete, or just he was cocky Pete. He was sweary Pete for all of a sudden.
Legitimately, you spoke about when we went back to the office and we're playing speedrunners, and apparently you said that I was, you know, effing and blinding and swearing at people and just telling them to F off and you know, whatever. I genuinely have no recollection of that.
I apologize.
I remember that we played speedrunners. I remember we played a couple of games, I think, and then everyone got a bit tired, so then we all got Ubers home. But I have no recollection of me swearing at people. That's quite bad.
I don't think, I wouldn't take it to heart, because I think, like, you won, and then everybody started talking separately, and you just started shouting at everybody. But no one was really paying attention. What's Pete saying?
Like that's worse, like, Ollie.
F you, I'm the f***ing man. Yeah. Pete, I'm not working tomorrow. F you.
That was the main thing, is that I wasn't working the next day. And you said that I harbored a real chip on my shoulder from the 1 year in 2019 where I had to work. And I realized that, yes, I did. And also, that was because it was the really messy year, because we all got really drunk. So it was real hard the next day for me. I was like, God, this is terrible. So I was half expecting everyone to get as drunk as the 2019 one. And then I joined the meeting the next day and be like, ha ha. Suck it, everyone's working. You had to be as bad as I was in 2019, and everyone was like, now we're fine. Like, oh,
I think it's because in any other year it might have been, but they closed up everything before midnight. You know, there wasn't any like post bit, or there wasn't anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Probably smart, hey. But anyway, I think that's gonna do it for this episode. Merry Christmas, everyone.
That's me done for the year for podcasts, audio-wise. I'll see you guys in 2022. Yeah, but you're back with Andy next week.
I'm back with Andy, reuniting the Dream Team. Me and Andy on Tuesday for Raw and on Wednesday for NXT. How dare you make me watch NXT and Raw back-to-back next week. But then I get AEW with Laurie. Yeah, I get AEW with Laurie next week too, so that's okay. Thank you for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. Hope you all have a good Christmas, and we'll see you next week for more content, because the content never stops. Jam that jam. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.